There are two passages of Scripture for you this day, on this Sunday of Pentecost, coming from John's Gospel and also from the book of Acts, as we hear these words from chapter 15 and 16 of John's Gospel. If you are able, I would invite you to please stand. Jesus speaks these words for us today. When the Advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who comes from the Father, he will testify on my behalf. You also are to testify because you have been with me from the beginning. I did not say these things to you from the beginning because I was with you, but now I am going to him who sent me. Yet none of you asks me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your hearts. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will prove the world wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because they do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I am going to the Father and you will see me no longer. About judgment, because the ruler of this world has been condemned. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, the Spirit will guide you for the truth, guide you into all the truth. For the Spirit will not speak on its own, but will speak whatever the Spirit hears, and will declare to you the things that are to come. God's Spirit will glorify me, because the Spirit will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. For this reason I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. Please be seated. We continue now with these words from the book of Acts, chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place, and suddenly, from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind. And it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all of these who are speaking Galileans? How is it that we can hear each of us in our own native languages? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and other parts of Libya, belonging to Cyrene and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. In our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power." All of them were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They're filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them. "Men and women of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you. And listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk as you suppose, for it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days, it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. And on your sons and your daughters, and they shall prophesy. And your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." May God's blessing rest upon the reading and hearing of these holy words for us this day, for they are the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, for the words of Scripture this day, we give you thanks. We pray that they might be planted in our hearts and take root and grow and nurture your spirit that is within each and every one of us. O God, give us a sense of rest and peace now from the activities of daily life and living those things past, present, and yet to come. O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts, O God, may they be pleasing and acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. For it's in Christ that we pray. Amen. Pentecost is considered the birthday of the church. We celebrate it as the time when the Spirit of God is given to the disciples, and so the church is born on this day in the city of Jerusalem. Like any gift, it is fresh, it is new. Or is this gift of God's Spirit recycled? How many of you, I'll raise my hand first, have ever recycled a gift? Maybe you receive it and you, thinking as you're unwrapping it, "I've already got one of these, but you're gracious, so thank you." Or you're opening it and you go, "What were they thinking?" Once had a pastor tell us, we have not done this, just so you're aware. Pastor said one time, "Oh, I keep a box. And when I leave Church A, I can recycle those gifts at Church B so that I don't recycle those gifts potentially to someone at Church A that's given it to me." Pentecost is the celebration of the first appearance, so to say, of God's wonderful Spirit in the life of the Christian church on this glorious day, but it is not the first time God's Spirit is spoken of in the Scriptures. When we look in the book of Genesis at the very beginning, we don't see that God's presence is there, and then God kind of is like Gumby and pulls off a piece and says, "Well, now this piece is going to be the Spirit, and another piece, this piece is going to be the Son." No, they're just already there with God. And we know that if we look at reading Genesis, that the scriptures tell us that when God created, depending on the different versions that we look at, but we can read those words, and the Spirit of God went upon the face of the earth, that formless void. It's an image of the Spirit of God present at the time of creation. We know that if we look in the book of Numbers, when Moses has led the people out of slavery some 500 years in Egypt, that he himself is listening and hearing to the judgments that people have against people. And his father-in-law, Jethro, comes to him and says, "You are wearing yourself out." And so Moses gathers 70 elders from the community with him to help him. And God says, "I will take some of my Spirit that is on you and put it on them." The Spirit of God, the Spirit given by God, is at work empowering Moses. It is now to be shared so that the work might be diversified and formed out that others might continue to do it. We turn to the book of Samuel and Judges, and we read about many examples of the Spirit of God coming to strengthen individuals for a task at hand. Oh, some of those individuals are not so well known. There's the individual Othniel, who is given God's Spirit because there is a battle at hand and he is victorious. More better known individuals like Gideon, who receives God's power and presence for a battle as well. Where we read about God's Spirit rushing upon Samson, where he is empowered with his bare hands to tear apart that lion. And that Spirit possesses Samson later on as he is given that strength to push those pillars that support the temple and it comes crashing down. It possesses Samuel, who falls into a prophetic frenzy. The Spirit falls upon Ezekiel, who is given the words to speak. Oh yes, my friends, the Spirit of God is not new today or on that day of Pentecost. It was given to individuals. It rests upon them. It was given to them for a task or a crisis that was at hand. And this is different what happened when the Spirit of God was not for individuals only, but it was for all. And now in this morning's scripture reading, God's Spirit did not rest upon the people, but rather it filled them. And now the Spirit of God is not to meet an immediate need or crisis, but rather it is to empower the disciples to respond to God's call. Well, we see first on Pentecost that the Spirit of God is given to all those who were present. Peter interprets this in his sermon with his sense of boldness by the Spirit by quoting Joel that the Spirit would be poured out upon sons and daughters, young men and old men, male and female, slaves even. There was no social equality in the ancient world among men and women and slaves, but this Spirit of God was poured out upon them all equally. What a striking, different phenomenon from what had occurred with God's Spirit in the past. The Spirit was no longer reserved for individuals that fell into the category of judges, prophets, or leaders. But now on Pentecost, God's Spirit is freely given to all. Acts gives us a new image of God's Spirit. It came like the sound of a violent wind, a rush of a wind, and we know that sound travels in all directions. It's not like a light that goes from point A to point B. Sound is that wave that radiates forth out. Oh, maybe we remember those times as a child, perhaps when we've taken that pebble or stone and dropped it into water and watched those ripples go out, only perhaps to hit the sides of the container and radiate back in. Or we remember that science experiment of taking that tuning fork and tapping it on something and then putting it in the water until those waves vibrated and that water spilled out over the cup. Well, sometimes we think that those waves are a little on the slow side when, you know, we as a child would go up and swim at the neighbor's pool that was round, and if we could run fast enough on their short dock and get high enough for a cannonball in the very center, those waves would go out, and then they would come back in and form a high peak until they kept coming and going and finally would slow back down again. But sometimes we know that sound is very quickly when suddenly words come out of our mouth. Oops, did I say that? And they can't be taken back. Sound travels quickly in all directions. All right, science experts, anybody remember the speed of sound? I'm not going to give you time to Google it, so quit trying. It's about 1,100 and some odd feet per second. Those of you that calculate math in your head quickly, that would be 768 miles an hour. The Spirit of God is given in today's scripture lesson not just solely for one pair of ears, but it's given for that whole community to hear that they might respond to the good news of the words that they are hearing. The gift of Pentecost is, the gift of the Spirit of God in Pentecost is new in that it is not only given to one set of ears, but it's given upon all the people. Previously, when the Spirit of God rested upon the individual as God's servant, it was just long enough to complete a task or an event that was before them, but on Pentecost, the Spirit of God did not just rest upon the people, but it filled them. And that Spirit on this event came for a different reason. No longer was it just for one to lead few. Now the Spirit of God was coming upon the disciples, upon believers, filling them. Because they had been obedient, waiting and praying. But now they were being faced with a new challenge of carrying the good news of Jesus Christ, their Lord and Savior, out into the world to make disciples of all nations. What do you suppose where the sounds of some of those individuals were when they received the Spirit of God. I can imagine sometimes some of those individuals, it might have been something like, "Oh my, I don't want this." But when they were preparing for battle and they felt that rush of God's Spirit upon them, I can imagine that they yelled a battle cry so that the troops knew that God was at least with this individual and thereby with them. But by contrast, on Pentecost, those who were filled with the Spirit, their first response was to praise Almighty God. And then they set out to share the good news in word and in deed. Sometimes this called for quiet conversation. Sometimes it called for silence while healing the sick. Sometimes it called for public sermons to individuals, to the multitudes. But however it came and wherever they were sent, the Spirit of God filled those individuals then and fills us as individuals today, so that we can go into the world with the love of Jesus Christ, meeting the diverse needs of a diverse world. Yes, my friends, Pentecost is the birthday of the church. For God's Holy Spirit is given fresh to us in a new way. May the Spirit of God continue to inspire us that we might be God's faithful church. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we are grateful for the good news of this day, that we are filled with your Spirit to make disciples, for the transformation of the world, for the hope of the world, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Continue, O God, to bless us. Continue to empower us. Continue, O God, to send us. For it's in Jesus Christ that we pray. Amen.